We're at the Crash Retrieval Conference here in Las Vegas at the Tuscany, and we're brought to you by UFOTV.com, and they offer UFOs and, of course, conspiracy DVDs, and they have some pretty interesting things. We'll be talking about that later. If you'd like to check out the website, it's UFOTV.com. And one of our friends, in fact, Peter, I hope you don't mind me calling you one of our friends, because
I really feel like
you and I...
you go back a bit now.
Yeah, we've done quite a few conferences together.
We have indeed, yeah.
And of course, this is an interesting subject you're on this time, yeah. Peter Robbins. You're talking about advertising and imagery and the movies and all of that. What did you say about that? I saw while we were getting ready to do the show, you got several compliments by people walking by here.
Well, you know that I'm best known for the work on the Rendlesham Forest case and the book Lefty Skin.
And we have an incredible show where you talk about that. I think we did that one down in Laughlin.
That's right. And, that's right, about 2 years ago.
Yeah, and people can still call that up.
But in this case, when I spoke with Ryan, our conference organizer, early this year, and he said, what do you want to talk about in November? And I said, you know, Ryan, I haven't decided yet, but I want to do a talk based on something I've never heard a talk done on. And he said, good, you know, let me know when you figure out what that is. And I don't know if you're aware, Jerry, but my background and training is as a painter and a film historian. I taught painting for years. I was a professional painter before I became a writer. And so I'm very visually oriented.
Yeah, I recall it the first time I met you were Bud Hopkins.
Yeah.
He's quite an artist as
and
well.
That's how one of the reasons we connected up 30 years ago, way back when.
I started to say there's probably a connection there.
Yeah. And so I started to think about, you know, every once in a while, for decades now, we see commercials, sometimes in gluts, sometimes, you know, there's a long period, where you have UFOs and aliens in them selling us every damn thing imaginable in the world. They vary wildly from almost homemade ones of little companies selling ice cream to kids to giant multinational tech corporations selling us, you know, sophisticated computer gear and the like. And I know, you know, in this wonderful wide-ranging field, there's all views, and there is a contingent of folks in our field here who feel that such commercials are part of a ongoing covert program to help condition the public to the reality of UFOs and their implications. And in principle, I was open to that, but as always, in doing an investigation, I go in without an agenda, do my best research, and follow the trail, and what I find is what I find.
What did you find? Is there a vast conspiracy, or is it just people saying, hey, this is a hot topic?
Well, I went in looking for conspiratorial material.
Okay.
And what I set as kind of my holy grail was, if I could find one commercial that let something out that had never been in the public record before, and then I was able to establish that when that commercial was made, the CEO of the company was maybe a member of a brain trust or a think tank, and if I could then go on to establish that they had been contracted to do work for the government, I thought this is a long shot. But if I can do it, maybe that would suggest, you know, there is a kind of a darker pattern
here. Did you find something?
I did.
Oh, really?
But it didn't take me where I thought it was going to.
Oh, really?
What I found after going through more than 100 print ads going back over 30 years and dozens of television commercials from half a dozen countries was a pair of ads made for American television in 1989 by the Levi Strauss Company. They have a division of their company called Dockers that makes more formal trousers. And this was right at the beginning of the MTV revolution, when the grainy footage and handheld camera and jump cutting were kind of trendy. So the camera is firmly focused on kind of the crotch area of a guy in a pair of Dockers, sort of moving around in sort of party atmosphere, a lot of background noise. And the voiceover for the commercial was the same in both commercials. And essentially it goes, hey, did you know America is hosting EBS? And, oh, do you believe in UFOs? Ooh, UFOs. And he says, do you know America's hosting EBS? And the voice off screen says, EBs, what are EBs? He says, EBs are extraterrestrial beings, and America's got them. And then the background crowd goes, oh, EBGB, you know, and it fades out. Well, it got me thinking. The term EB, E-B-E,
yes,
first came down the pike at us in 1987 with the public release through Stanton Friedman and colleagues of the Eisenhower briefing document, the first seminal MJ-12 document. And it refers to EBs as these creatures that during the autopsy period, the team around Dr. Detlev Bronk, who was a presidential science advisor, who all the smart money says, if there was a crash, if bodies were recovered, they would have been autopsied, Bronk would have been the man to lead the team. And I found in no less than 15 print sources, from the absolutely hairball to the really scholarly, that the team that worked with Bronk is credited with coming up with this term extraterrestrial, hyphenated, biological entities to describe these critters. And I thought, wow, maybe I've got something here. And then this guy named Bob Haas, who was CEO in 1989 of Levi Strauss, he, at the time, was also a member in good standing of the Brookings Institution.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we know that Brookings has been doing papers on the implications of extraterrestrial reality since as early as at least 1960. And I thought, wow, I'm on to something here. I continued the search to see if I could find anything else, and I couldn't. Now, the commercials that I showed and the print ads, and it was about 60 or so that I showed on screen and several dozen, about a dozen television ads from three countries. They were clever. Many of them were well written. The graphics were sophisticated. The copy was, you know, real Madison Avenue stuff. Some of it was sort of homemade. Some of it was really world class. And the first thing I did was I broke it down into groups. These are products just selling to children. This is a whole slew of commercials where they rely on the term UFO, but it means something other than unidentified flying object, and it helps sell their product. Then as I really looked, I found commercials that absolutely were about abduction, other commercials that were about back engineering, a few that were about crash retrievals. Thought, this is good.
Now, do you think that's the copywriters and producers of these commercials are just up on our industry here of UFOs?
Well, again, my premise was, are these a manifestation of an organized covert program to help acclimatize us to this? And there are probably such programs going on. Or is it Madison Avenue just knowing that aliens and UFOs sell products and employing it for all it's worth? For example, in 1997, the 50th anniversary of Roswell, you remember, I mean, the world went UFO crazy, and every documentary was reshown. There were all these products for a year or two, a couple dozen extra magazines, and then everybody lost interest for a few years.
Right.
One of the most sophisticated that year was a Absolut Vodka one. You know, their terrific series of ads. It was a vodka bottle reminiscent of a mothership floating over the desert at dusk, and the caption was Absolut Roswell. Anyway.
Yeah. Absolut Vodka.
Yeah. And what I relied on here was my common sense and good human logic. And I put them together in groups to make for a good presentation. I wrote clever descriptions of what we were seeing on screen. But I realized unless I could really make this Levi Strauss thing work or maybe find another one, I didn't know where to go with it. Because number one, Haas may have been an ultimate insider. Who knows, maybe Brookings or, you know, NSA through there, whomever, said, you know, Mr. Haas, we'd really appreciate your help in the national security thing to do a commercial that mentions this term that nobody's ever heard of outside ufology. Or maybe he just took it upon himself. But I don't consider that proof at all, Jerry. For me, it's interesting. But unless I can back it up, it's just an anomaly. And I realized, you know, I know nothing about Haas. I don't know whether he was introduced to that paper at Brookings. I don't know if he ever read that paper. I don't know if he ever read any paper on UFOs. I don't know if he read a book on them or even had an interest in it. And so I could only push so far on it. But what I was looking for was some thread that was common in all these commercials and pieces of print ad. And I looked and I looked and I looked. And I kind of applied a technique that I used to use as a painter, which was you work on something until you almost go into an altered state. And then it takes on a life of its own. The experience of painting becomes more pleasurable mm-hmm. and really quite inspiring in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And after I had looked at these things logically, repeatedly, I just put on my disc and I looked at them and I looked at them again. I mean, 60 at a clip, then 20 minutes worth of commercials. And I went till about 3 in the morning and it hit me. I found the thing they all had in common, every one of them.
Really?
Yes. It was dual kind of concept. Number one,
okay.
Not a single commercial took the subject seriously. They were all in their own ways, clever, sarcastic, satirical, demeaning, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, as they say in England. Plus, they all had another thing in common. The one thing that they never alluded to, said, or even suggested was that UFOs and aliens and their implications might actually be real. I thought, now, what? How can I evaluate this data in the face of this idea that there's an ongoing program to help integrate it and make us take it seriously? Well, I couldn't, because they weren't. Every one of them was about taking it
silly. Did you take it to the other extreme? Maybe it was designed.
I became devil's advocate and said, maybe there's a program mm-hmm. to mock them.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes against the thesis of this is about helping the public to acclimatize to the subject so that when disclosure really happens.
Did you remember those California milk?
I re-showed them.
Okay.
I re-showed them, and they were a perfect example of clever, funny as hell.
Yes.
And I also showed them...
Well, and the devil of abductions, to a certain extent, cattle mutilations, but they made it funny.
They did it big time. But one of the things that I recalled, and I know you remember it too, was when the California Milk Council, or
yes.
whatever that acronym was, showed them to us 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It was with great sensitivity and respect, and to find out if anyone in the audience, knowing there'd be abductees and experiencers there, felt this was in any way mean-spirited or mocking.
Yeah.
And of course, they were just fun from start to finish,
right.
And we all gave them our blessings, and they ran them on TV out west.
Right. We were the ultimate focus group.
And you remember, they gave us a lot of free drinks that night.
Yes,
and I thought
all,
that was
all,
not a bad
all
salad.
With milk. I didn't know you could make so many drinks with milk.
Boy, oh boy. I tell you, I was pretty lacerated by the end of that one. Yeah. You know, you give people too much free alcohol and they'll support you on anything. But ultimately, what I was able to come to as a conclusion was, for most people, the real subject of UFOs and aliens for real is very anxiety-provoking. And when we're looking at UFOs and aliens in commercials, it gives us a chance to do something that real life and the real possibility does not, which is to look at them and think about them, but not have to take them seriously. Now, do I feel that there was any chance or there is any likelihood that the government is covertly encouraging this or funding it? I thought, no, I know too much about the advertising
You're
industry.
Right.
They're sharp as tacks. They're picking up on every pop culture trend. They see all the movies and, you know, listen to the TV shows we do.
It appears that there may be a crack with the media now that they will take the subject seriously.
Yes.
But up until this time, Madison Avenue is only reflecting what the pop culture is.
That's it. And I think in great part that's what we were seeing. That as long as it's fun, as long as it's teasing, as long as it's playful, yeah, think about UFOs and aliens all you want. But the last thing it does is to help people take it seriously. So I think I might have disappointed some of my more conspiratorial colleagues. But I think overall, even though it was sort of dry and academic, I think it was a good paper.
Yeah,
and
it
that
certainly
folks
would be for,
valued
for
it for what it was.
Right. You may have a whole new career lecturing advertising.
Oh, God. Actually, that would be great. They have money. Unlike ufologists. But it was actually very satisfying. Our wonderful audience seemed to like it.
Yeah.
And I had a good time doing it. And we actually, it's the first talk I've ever done in this field in my whole life where I got laugh after laugh because the commercials are funny. Dark machinations.
We're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, I want to talk about some things that you've lectured on before that weren't so funny.
Amen.
And some of them are pretty serious.
Yeah.
But you're actually a fun kind of guy, and I am too, kind of. But we deal in serious subjects,
too.
This is brought to you by UFOTV.com, and I'm going to give you an 800 number in a minute if you'd like to call and order any of the DVDs or conspiracy DVDs that UFOTV.com has. They have probably the best selection in the whole world. And one of the great things about UFOTV.com, of course, is that you don't have to leave your computer to order any great series of DVDs. For instance, this Best Evidence series, it's a 3-DVD set, special edition, featuring George Knapp, well-known reporter and probably one of the leaders in the country. And he has, in this Best Evidence DVD, some of the most comprehensive pictures and stories and researchers talking about the subject. So I'm going to give you a number here to call, 1-800-350-4639. 1-800-350-4639. Or just go to UFOTV.com. Forrestal, you did a lot of research on that.
I did. And that's indicative of the work I'm better known for.
Right.
Very deadly serious, and deadly in this case, actually.
He literally jumps out of the hospital window.
Well, that was the cover story. I have established, I feel...
Yeah, I do too.
...that he was forced out of that window, and that... You know, remember that old Gray Barker book from the 50s, one of the great paranoid classics, They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers? James Forrestal knew too much. And he had suffered a profound, well-documented, total nervous breakdown. I feel in great part fed by the stress of the pressure of being the first Secretary of Defense who went on the job 2 months after Roswell and had to, you know, continue to realize that nothing that the most powerful country in the world could do could even touch these things. For me, this is Greek level tragedy. I continue to come and go from Forrestal. I don't think I have quite enough information or personal momentum to write a book about this part of his life, but I will continue to come back to this topic my whole life, add to my presentation, and who knows, at some point in the future, maybe do a film treatment for it or what have you. But that's work I'm proud of, and a very dark, sad, and fascinating part of early post-war history.
Well, there seems to be a lot of dark side matters when you deal with UFOs and the federal government, whether they're the guilty party or not. We can debate that, but there seems to be a lot of connections. What are they trying to hide all these years?
Well,
the reason I ask you that's in that phrase that way is that we talked about Madison Avenue. And
sure.
It all of a sudden it appears, like you say, after doing a study of it, they're making fun of all of this.
Yes.
So that actually helps keep this secret going.
Yes. Well, the ridicule factor went into place the summer of 1947, and it is still a powerhouse. It's, you know, there are breaks in it, and more people, decent people of goodwill, are taking it seriously. But the change continues to come arithmetically rather than geometrically. It's one person at a time still. This is not a mass movement where people are turning over by the hundreds of thousands and saying, my God, UFOs are real. You ask me what I think they're hiding. I've been at this for over 30 years, but I'm damned if I know exactly. I can make better educated guesses than most folks.
I've been doing shows for a long time, too, and I just don't have an answer.
Well, I think we can put forward some very viable possibilities.
Okay, let's talk about that.
One is often ignored, but part of the cover-up may be to cover up how ignorant the forces that be are about what's really going on, rather than the knowledge that they may have. The other thing is this...
I'm inclined to agree with you on that. That not only is in UFOs, but in all news stories.
Indeed. Indeed. We like to hide our ignorance.
Right. Sometimes the stupid factor is amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Good observation. I think also what we do know, and let's face it, you know, if one UFO has ever crashed, probably others have come down. That means that there is a whole subterranean cadre of individuals, people who live, you know, public lives but walk around with terribly dark information that they're not allowed to talk about. It's kind of sort of a secret society in a way. And if I've always felt that if the President of the United States, the President of France, you know, the Premier of the Soviet Union, you know, every world leader timed themselves to go on television in their country, whether it was the middle of the night or the middle of the afternoon, at the same moment, and say in so many words, my fellow,
yes,
it is my solemn responsibility to inform you that we, the government of your country, in league with other first, second, and third world countries, have been aware of the phenomena called UFOs for decades. And the fact is that some of these things are indeed machines of advanced, mind-bogglingly advanced configuration. Mm-hmm. They are piloted by intelligences who come and go from a number of points in the universe or even interdimensionally. We're not exactly sure why they're coming and going, but they are real. And all of the nonsense you've been conditioned to, that they are silly and people who take them as serious are delusional, is simply a cover story. Now, if anything like that ever happened, let's just say in America, number one, every previous president from Truman on down, be they liberal or conservative, Republican or Democrat, is now an unindicted co-conspirator in a cover-up. It also means that probably every Secretary of Defense has lied to us about this. It would mean admitting contemporary as well as historic lies at the center of our social fabric. That is something that they're very reticent to do. Another reason that occurs to me more and more as absolutely volatile here is the wild card best expressed by that community of people in the world, be they Christian, Jewish, Muslim, whatever, who are what we would call either fundamentalist, evangelical, or charismatic, mm-hmm. i.e., they take their holy books literally. And if I were to suggest, with all due respect, to a good Christian friend who does not see any allegory, analogy, recycling of earlier myths, stories of the time, but everything written by God with his giant fountain pen, that, say, Ezekiel is a perfectly understandable misunderstanding of an extraterrestrial intervention. And they might begin to think about it and say, my God, if this is true, that means everything that I've ever believed in is now subject to question. And if we're created in God's image, whose image are they created? We know. We're dealing with it every day in the Middle East. There are people that would rather kill themselves and kill us than take a possible look at an alternative way of living their lives or looking at the world around them. And I think more and more, this is a real wild card that has to be addressed with sensitivity.
Yeah, I think it's a bigger problem now than it has been for a long time.
Maybe ever. The only other time I'm aware of in the history of this young nation that Americans had to scratch their heads and say, what the heck can we do about this, was starting in late 44, early 45, when Japanese pilots, so committed to ancestor worship and devotion to the emperor, would gloriously be honored to give their lives to take some of these gaijin with them, and in the process to go to heaven and be with their ancestors and serve the empire as, you know, honored warrior sons. And we didn't, you know, what could you do with kamikaze pilots except let them kill themselves and try to shoot them out of the sky as they're coming down at you? I'll tell you what, I know a lot of people that believe in an afterlife. I don't know any Christians or Jews that are in a hurry to get there.
I agree with you, but there are, it seems to be, well, it is a problem. It's been that way for a while, and you had a good example of some time back in 1944.
I think also, as far as other reasons they're keeping us from us, let's think about some of the alternate theories here. Abductions are going on. We know that human beings are taken and returned, but what about that most disturbing idea of either hybrids or other intelligences that can pass for human beings. Now, can you imagine if it was taken seriously in a grand scale that they are among us and they look like us? I don't even think we can calculate some of the ramifications of this. I mean, just the idea of disclosure itself.
So basically, I've always felt this was one of the reasons. There are two reasons in my mind my disclosure hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. One is a very simple one, business matters. If we back engineered all this, then who owns the patents to these things?
That's right.
The taxpayers develop them, then General Electric or whomever, they're not really entitled to it.
That's correct. I don't believe that we have a patent on any of their hardware yet that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Bud Hopkins pointed out years ago that, and he, you know, Bud has a great sense of humor, but he knows how to make a good point. He and Dave Jacobs using some humor to it. And he said, if, you know, the curtain is lifted, if disclosure happens, especially overnight, there are many things that we can't predict, but things we can predict are as follows. Church attendance and religious attendance would go up markedly. Alcohol sales would go through the roof. Admissions into mental health clinics would go quite wild. There would be at least a panic, at most a full crash of our stock market. An absolute panic would be thrown into the petrochemical industry, because just by acknowledging it, even if we're decades away from the technology, my God, there are clean, renewable power sources, hypothetically, that will absolutely make combustion engines and even jet planes and all of this, you know, analog hardware, so to say, seem like a charming steam engine or, you know, a wooden wheel on an ox car. And the economic considerations are very real. When I started out in this 30 years ago, like most converts to a cause, I was a zealot. And it was, you know, power to the people, release the information now, we deserve everything, blah, blah, blah. I've become much more circumspect over the years. I think if this is done, it needs to be done in close coordination with teams of the finest psychologists, social historians, mental health professionals, anthropologists, religious leaders, community leaders.
Now you mentioned,
and in a certain order.
You mentioned the Brookings Institute earlier, and they had a finding that it would be very detrimental to the fundamental religious beliefs of the world.
That's correct.
Which it probably would, as you just laid out.
Yeah.
But I also find a lot of, I'm from the South and in Oklahoma, and a lot of fundamentalists around, and when you talk to them, most of them kind of accept that there are UFOs out there. It seems to be a dichotomy.
I've worked out in Oklahoma. I've lectured out in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
I've
right.
got a lot of friends there.
Yeah.
But
so,
yeah, I mean, anybody with an elementary school education who has a good mind and is governed by rational thinking, whatever their religious background,
I
sort it out a bit.
I just don't think it's going to be as traumatic as everybody thinks.
I sure hope not. And again, I'm an optimist as a rule, but I think this has to be handled with great care and delicacy. There are a contingent of us that accept it. We know it's real. We're antsy. We're waiting already. You know, what's the problem? But we have to always remember that for every one of us, there are probably 10 or 20 folks, that this is going to be rough going. It's going to shatter a lot of myths. It's going to be like childhood end for the human race and moving into a brave new world, to pick up two book titles. I think what has to govern it is not the abstract ideal of striving for truth as much as that notion, heavily informed by humanity, compassion, and patience.
Peter, we could go on for hours. What have you got going on book-wise? Are you writing anything else?
I'm not working on a book now. I'm working on a number of papers. One that I'm quite excited about that I'll be giving for the first time at the International UFO Congress in Laughlin in February.
Well, good. We'll talk to you about it down there.
Yeah. Well, very quickly, though, what it is something I've wanted to do for years and nobody said do it, which is a lot of stories that never went into print. Funny, scary, anxiety-provoking, ironic. I'll sit up there and tell you some stories, Jared.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Peter Robbins, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Shanina Johnson was our own location producer and doing a great job, I must say. And because if I don't say it, she'll cut me off. No, she's doing a great job. Until next time, on behalf of our sponsor, UFOTV.com, they have the greatest selection of conspiracy and UFO DVDs out there, UFOTV.com. This is Jerry Pippin. Thank you for listening. Cheers.